Deanna, our guest today is Brett Wilcox. He is the author of Jabbed, How the Vaccine Industry, Medical Establishment, and Government Stick It to You and Your Family. I love that title. It's perfect. The website is runningthecountry.com. He is also the author of two books about Monsanto. In 2013, he published War Monsanto, Feeding the World, Lie After Lie, Book One. And in the next year, he wrote Where Monsanto, Still Feeding the World, Lie After Lie, Book Two. Okay, you were going to tell us about these 26 reasons.
So. Yeah, irrational vaccines. I'm just going to give a little summation from Jagannath Chatterjee on irrational vaccines in developing countries. Ethical doctors and medical scientists in India are pointed out how irrational vaccines are being introduced into the country. What are these irrational vaccines? One, vaccines for disease whose incidence is low in the country, example, HIV or HIB. Number two, vaccines for diseases that can be easily treated, example, rotavirus, diarrhea, measles, and mumps. Number three, vaccines that are causing death and adverse effects, example, the pentavalent or HPV or OPV. Number four, vaccines that have been proven ineffective or harmful in clinical trials, including rotavirus, BCG, HPV. Number five, vaccines that are being given to the wrong target group, Hep B, being given to infants and children. Number six, vaccines for diseases that are best encountered in childhood, example, rubella, measles, mumps, whooping cough. They are also worried about other issues. One, mass vaccination leads to medication of healthy people. That is unethical. You know, I love that statement.
Yes.
Number two, mass irrational vaccination draws taxpayers' money away from genuine public health measures like nutrition, clean water, hygiene, sanitation, housing, poverty eradication, etc. And three, having a vaccine prevents research into the illness and doctors forget how to treat the disease.
Indeed. Wow. Indeed. Yeah, that hepatitis, giving an infant a shot for hepatitis.
Yeah.
Supposedly it lasts 7 years. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, the only sense it makes is what sometimes doctors have referred to, or the bigwigs have said, the reason they're giving that vaccine on the day of birth is because it trains parents to vaccinate their kids.
Indeed.
And that's it. The actual safety study that went into getting the Hep B to market, Dr. Wakefield talks a lot about that. I think he said that the safety study was as long as 5 days. It might have been 2 weeks. I forget the figure. But whatever it was ridiculous to give a child a vaccine that contains all these neurotoxins on the day of birth for a disease that they have no risk of contracting. It is ludicrous.
It is. Now, you've also referred to the Amish population in this country and the incidence of, well, autism or anything else being almost non-existent.
Right. And we're kind of, in the United States, we're really United States-centric. We tend to think that the United States is the only country in the world, and so we're always pushing for this big vax versus unvax study. And the CDC, of course, is never going to do that study because they know that when you don't inject toxins into kids, that they're going to be healthier than kids that you do inject toxins into. And they don't want to do that study. They don't want to show that. But vaccinated versus unvaccinated studies have been done around the world, and I referred to three or four or five of them in my book. And the statistics are, well, they're not mind-blowing. They're just common sense. When you raise kids free of neurotoxins, they're going to do better. They're not going to have as much asthma or allergies, ADHD or autism, and those are just the A's. There's numerous problems that are associated with injecting toxins into the human body. And the vaxxed versus unvaccinated study, it's really being played out across the nation in the homes of the vaccine-informed parents. You've got all these parents who have kids that very rarely have these illnesses that are now epidemic in the homes of vaccinated families. And you go to a population like the Amish, who have very, very low vaccination rates, and they have a correspondingly low, very, very, very low rate of autism, very low rate of asthma, and many of the other problems that are associated with vaccines.
Right. And it's almost, I mean, you meet so many children or come across so many children in any community that have allergies, peanut allergies. I mean, schools are very, very quick to point out, you know, don't bring anything with peanuts. Could you tell us why there's such an allergic response to peanuts?
I would refer you to the book, The Peanut Allergy Epidemic. It is an amazing book, and I refer to that book in my book.
Right.
But it's about far more than peanuts. But we do know that a refined peanut oil has been an excipient in vaccines for many, many years. And we know that when the vaccine epidemic happened in the early 1990s, that a corresponding epidemic of peanut allergy took off. And peanut oil, was in the vaccines. So it's no surprise that when you inject a protein directly into your blood supply, that your body is going to have an allergic or an anaphylactic response to the peanut. And the researchers have looked everywhere, except at vaccines, it seems, when you read the book, trying to explain the epidemic of the peanut allergy. And it's not just the peanut allergy. We have an epidemic of all sorts of food allergies and all sorts of other allergies. And what the researchers are showing, the people that actually look at vaccine injury, they know that when vaccine-injured kids, a good part of that vaccine injury happens in the gut. And we know that a good share of the immune system is based on the strength of the gut. And when the immune system, the gut is destroyed, the kids get the vaccines, they get diarrhea, they get earaches, they get constipation, and they go to the doctor and they get put on the antibiotics, and then they've lost their natural microbiome because the antibiotics have killed it off. Then you've got very sick kids and with very sick guts, and the guts develop leaky gut syndrome. They let through the food particles into the blood supply that were never designed to be there in that form, and your body's already in a hyper state of arousal because all the aluminum and other crap that's in the vaccines. And so these particles get through, and then your body says, oh, here's something else we have to fight. Let's get a hyper response to shellfish, or a hyper response to to nuts, tree nuts, or whatever it is, the common allergies that kids are now experiencing.
Right.
And those are the things that, you know, kids become allergic to those things because it's part of their parents' diet. And I meet kids all the time who are Native Alaskans. They've been eating seafood for millennia, and they walk into my office and they say, oh, I can't eat shellfish. And I say, you've got to be kidding me. You know, their people have been eating shellfish forever.
Sure.
And all of a sudden these kids can't eat shellfish. And it's not hard to go from A to B and say, well, vaccines damaged your gut. You were eating shellfish at one time. It got through into your blood supply. Your body developed an allergic or anaphylactic response to what used to be food, and now that's poison for you.
Right. And I think it's in your book where, I mean, food is how we live. That's how we grow, we breathe, we exist, because we have food. And now we have all of these food allergies, not just shellfish and peanuts, but all kinds of allergies. And I mean, it's terrible. And I have Heather Fraser's book, The Peanut Allergy Epidemic. Who in heaven's name thought of putting peanut oil in vaccines? What are they thinking?
And I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the purpose of that was. You know, people say, well, why did they put aluminum or thimerosal in vaccines?
Yes.
And the aluminum is put in there because a baby's body is programmed not to respond to toxins in the body. It's naturally, it's not an acidic environment. It's you know, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys explains this from a scientific point of view that I really can't do justice to, but she explains that you have to put the aluminum in there in order to inflame or get the immune system hyper aroused, so then it can then attack the antigen in the vaccine to produce the antibodies. So they put the aluminum in there for that purpose. If the aluminum is not there, the vaccine will not produce the antibodies, and so they'll say the vaccine is not effective. So yeah, sure, you've amped up the antibody level, but you've also deposited a known neurotoxin into the body, which affects the brain, it affects the kidneys, and does all sorts of damage. When you give, there's a ton of aluminum in the HPV vaccine, which we give to prepubescent and pubescent girls and boys, and now that's creating an epidemic of harm. So that's why they put aluminum in there, and they put thimerosal ostensibly into the vaccines because it is a preservative. It kills life. So if you put thimerosal in there, if you've got a multi-use vial where they stick a needle in it 10 times, drawing out some of the vaccine 10 different times. Every time they stick a needle in there, it's going to introduce contaminants. So the thimerosal is in there, theoretically, to kill off whatever contaminant is introduced with every new stick. So yeah, that makes some sense to why you would want to have that in there, because you don't want the vaccine to be growing all this other stuff in there. Why they put peanut oil in the vaccine, I really don't know. That's a great question. I should investigate that and find out.
But actually, I mean, thimerosal was known to be very dangerous back in 1933 when Eli Lilly had the patent on it, and they knew. I mean, it killed what, 22 people that they were.
Yes.
So they know that it's dangerous.
Yes, they've known that for 70 years.
Exactly. Now,
and the FDA has known it.
Yes, they've known it, certainly. Wow. Now, a lot of people think that the pharmaceutical industry eradicated polio with vaccines. That, boy, if it weren't for vaccines, everyone would have polio.
Yes, that is what a lot of people think. That is what a lot of people have been fed. And people that have actually researched this suggest that the vaccine really didn't do that at all. They point out how the diagnostic criteria was changed shortly after the vaccine was introduced. They took what was defined as polio, which was paralysis, and they divided that up into 8 or 10 different diseases. And so polio was then reclassified with 8 or 10 different diseases, and just that alone reduced the incidence of polio. So polio didn't actually go away, it was just renamed. And aside from that, there were some other things going on. The researchers Mark Blaxel and Dan Olmsted, who I quote in my book, they've done a lot of research on both arsenic, or DDT, and lead arsenate. And lead arsenate was introduced, I believe, back in the 1920s as a pesticide. They were spraying it on apples and things. Mm-hmm. And so you have to ask yourself, when did the polio virus come into existence? And the answer is, it's always been there. These polio viruses have always been around. They've always been part of our systems. They've been in our guts. We've pooped them out, and they've infected other people. And why is it that this polio virus, which has really been pretty benign throughout history, why is it that in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, we started to see an epidemic of polio? And the answer to that, according to Mark Blaxel and Dan Olmsted, is because we combined the virus with an environmental toxin, either lead arsenate, which weakened the system and destroyed the gut so that the virus could then move through the gut into the blood supply, into the nervous system, into the spine and into the brain, and then polio could become the disease that our parents and grandparents were taught to be afraid of. And when we got rid of the lead arsenate, we replaced it with DDT, which continued to do the same thing. Kids were being doused with DDT. We were putting DDT on our kids' cereals. We were putting DDT in their bed sheets, all with the belief that DDT is good for me. And that was harming the gut. And so the polio virus could then get through and wreak its havoc. And when we got rid of DDT, polio went away.
Wow.
So we really don't know exactly what the truth is, but this idea that an environmental toxin combined with a virus, which has always been present in the environment, and when we got rid of the environmental toxin, the disease kind of went away on its own. And sure, the polio vaccine may have had something to do with it. I won't deny that, but I will certainly point out that they're vaccinating the heck out of kids in India and in Africa.
Yeah.
With the oral polio vaccine, and have been doing for decades, and they're not wiping out polio. It's not working.
But introducing cancer.
Because of SV40 and everything else, the polio vaccine comes with a whole host of problems. We may have given ourselves the cancer epidemic through the polio vaccine as well as the AIDS epidemic, and we've got. In India, for example, we've got all these kids who are living on the verge of starvation. They're malnourished. They live in filth. And this vaccine is not doing what it purports that it's going to do, which, again, just supports the idea that it's not the vaccine. It's the environment. If we can give our people clean environments and keep them away from environmental toxins, then their immune systems will do what they are designed to do, and that is keep us safe from the bad guys, poliovirus
exactly.
being one of those.
Exactly. We do have some callers. Let's take Chris in near Las Vegas. Chris, welcome.
Well, hello there, Deanna and Brett. What a wonderful
Hi.
Show. I'm with good information. I got a little noise in the background. I'm sorry. But when I was first listening to Brett, whenever I caught your show coming on, I had the immediate inspired thought that we really should be also addressing murder by injection by Eustace Mullins, because that's really what we're talking about. There are no vaccines, only injections, and they're used to create an internal dependence on the medical trade so they can prey upon us and continually profit egregiously unjust by continuing treating diseases, not curing diseases.
You make a strong statement there, Chris, and I am certainly not going to argue against that. That does indeed seem to be the case.
Well, they hire these expertutes, these professional witnesses, to testify to any facts they need to support their preposterous insinuations that these things actually do anything beneficial other than make them rich. And, of course, if we read Edwin Bernays, the father of propaganda, we find that if they can convince us that is for our benefit, then our consent is their victory.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There are many, many examples of the science that they put out to the public as showing us the vaccines are safe and effective. When we go back and analyze the science, we see that there were all sorts of problems with the science, all sorts of corruption involved in the science, and it's really a con game.
Well, in fact, there's a law case that anybody fighting these monsters should know about, and it's Kumho Tire Company versus Carmichael. And in that case, it says, it's talking about psychiatry and psychology in that instance, but it talks about a Dalbert test by independent third-party peer-reviewed, not conflicted vested interest scientists. And in that case, it says that psychology and psychiatry, or in particular, are mere witch doctrines.
Okay,
so thank you very much.
Okay, Chris, thank you for your call. All righty, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we'll take John. Be right back.
With Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information. This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Brett Wilcox. His website is runningthecountry.com. And we have another caller on the line, John in Texas. John, welcome.
Hello. Welcome. Hi. Thank you. I have a personal account to give. I've been having symptoms or things. I've never been formally diagnosed, but I've had symptoms since I was a child of being, I don't know, starting when, even since I was at least 3 years old. And this was back in the late 60s. It would have been about 67 or 68. I've been having, you know, symptoms of autism, similar, you know, like in the in some ways, you know, like the kid in the A Word, the Sundance series, season.
Okay, so what well, anyway, go ahead and ask
well,
me a question.
Well, recently I did, several years ago, I did something called kinesiology treatments, and what they found was that there was a significant kinesiological reaction to titers of, there were several protocols to go through, but when they got to the ones that had to do with the brain, it seems that there was issues involving myelin. There were issues involving the basal nuclei, which were and there was a combination involving egg yolk and egg white. But the most interesting part was the cerebellum. And that, she was getting weakening in response to heavy metals, and it turned out the heavy metal was mercury, and I asked her to double check it, and yes, it was mercury, and then she picked up something else and another titer, and it turned out that it went even weaker, and that titer was thimerosal.
Okay. Do you have a question for Brett?
Yes. What does it appear that are you familiar with kinesiology?
And I am not.
That, and also, sir, you are?
I am not. No, I am not.
I was noting, but it seemed that there seemed that a lot of the titers and the issues or substances.
Okay, he's not familiar with that, so.
But it seems that I have been exposed to that.
Well, we've all been exposed to mercury. Anybody that's had a flu shot is exposed to mercury. Anybody that has amalgam fillings in their mouth is exposed to mercury. So it's something that a lot of the country, a lot of people in this country experience. So anyway, did you have another question?
Yes, I was wondering. I've also had problems with poor muscle tone and things having seemed to be.
You know, I don't think that Brett covers that in his book.
John, I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not an alternative practitioner of medicine. So I would advise you to seek out the people that know and study this stuff. It might be mainstream medical practitioners. It might be other people. But inform yourself, do your research, and then talk to as many people as you can and learn what you can. But I am not a source of information on those subjects.
So anyway, thanks, John, for your phone call.
Good. I just have one more.
Well, we do need to move on because we're coming up on a break, and we do have some other callers. So, is this relevant to the book?
Yes, to the book. Yes, is I understand that it not only are vaccines ineffective, but the whole basis of the theory underlying it is really junk science. And to what extent is the whole theory based on a very naive understanding of immunity?
Yes, I believe that's the case, and I quote immunologists that do make that case.
So, thanks, John.
So, appreciate read the book, then.
Yep, read the book.
Yes, indeed. Please do.
Okay, let's take Ann real quick in Colorado, and we're going to a break, so we'll say hi, and then we'll go to the break. Ann?
Hi. I wanted to ask the author's thoughts regarding vaccines being another tool in the agenda for depopulation. What are his thoughts on that?
Okay, he'll answer that when we come back. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2000. 2001.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
And our guest today is Brett Wilcox. He is the author of Jabbed, How the Vaccine Industry, Medical Establishment, and Government Stick It to You and Your Family. His website is runningthecountry.com. And Ann in Colorado needs to hear about Rockefeller, huh?
Yeah. My answer to the question about eugenics and whether the vaccine program fits into the eugenics plan is that I just didn't go there in my book very much, because the people that are already aware of that information are already not vaccinating. And my book was written more for the people who are just barely becoming informed, the people who have grown up believing that what the CDC tells us is true and correct. And I knew that if I went out there on what would might be perceived as going out on a limb with really crazy stuff, that such people would not read it. So I was thinking of my kids. I was thinking of other people that are really bought into the system, and I want them to be able to read this book and say, this makes sense and this doesn't sound like crazy stuff. So I just didn't go there in my book, because those people don't need to read a book like this in order to be aware that the vaccine industry is a dangerous paradigm.
Okay. Yeah, you did mention the Rockefeller Foundation's Population Council, but you really didn't yes. tie it in. But I think you're really wise. I think that's terrific reasoning on your part. That's really great. Okay. Ann.
Yeah.
Did you have another question?
No, I still don't have a clear-cut understanding whether the author thinks it's another depopulated
well,
tool.
He didn't go there in his book, and he probably doesn't want to go there now.
Yeah, it's to me it doesn't matter because the indictment against the vaccine paradigm is so strong in the material that I covered. Just looking at the profit motivation and the corruption, the endemic corruption, that's enough. Going
yes.
there is enough. For people that need to go further and they want to take it further, I'm all for it. Whatever information you can find.
Do you think it's a crazy idea to consider it?
Well, I think he's answered your question.
I will answer that directly. No, I don't think that's crazy. People have done horrendous things in the past, and I believe people are doing horrendous things now. I did go quite extensively into the book. Excuse me, about the anti-fertility vaccines that have been unleashed in developing countries in order to curb the population among those people. So, you know, maybe that is an answer to your question.
Yes.
It just seems that the population is being assaulted from all fronts, from food, water, air, environmental toxins, and now vaccines are something else to consider.
Sure.
Yes, it does seem that the HPV vaccine, which is given to girls at puberty, it's reducing fertility. So, yeah, there's a lot of evidence to support that, but in my book I tried to stick with stuff that was clearly supportable from numerous sources. So I stayed away from things that some people would say is not supportable just because I really didn't need to go there. There is so much information in my book without going there that I didn't need to go there.
Exactly. So thank you so much, Ann, for your phone call. We do need.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care. Okay, let's take Wes in Idaho. Wes, welcome.
Yes, Brett, Deanna, you touched on the subject earlier. I want to know if your author had any comments on it. I have asked Joyce Riley and Wynn Parker, and they don't really seem to understand when I enter it. And that is the germ theory of Louis Pasteur versus Antoine Bouchamp. I think we need to touch on that. And Deanna, if you know someone out there that really can elaborate on this subject, I don't see a lot of books out there, but Brett, can you comment? Do you understand the germ theory of Pasteur versus Antoine Bouchamp? I mean, I go to a supermarket.
Let him answer.
I really did not investigate that very much. So no, and short answer to your question is no, I don't know much about that. The point of my book was to point out that the science and the corruption is so strong on the other side. So I wanted to point out all the corruption out there on the other side, because to me, that is the biggest indictment against the vaccine paradigm and the vaccine program. So that was the thrust of my book.
Exactly, and and he's done it just absolutely wonderfully. Okay, Wes, thank you so much for phoning in.
Yeah, if you can get someone on there,
well, I'll make an effort to do. Okay, thanks, Wes. Okay, let's take Nancy in California. Nancy,
hi. I have read about how in Louis Pasteur's day he had a contemporary named Claude Bernard. Have you heard about Claude Bernard at all?
I have not.
Okay, well, if you just Google...
Do you have a question about vaccines?
Well, just pertains to it. Claude Bernard said you don't need to vaccinate. He and Louis Pasteur argued, and on his deathbed, actually, Louis Pasteur conceded that Claude Bernard was right. If you have a healthy body, you are going to be just fine. You don't need to vaccinate.
Yes, I do recall reading that.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm enjoying your program. And I hope to get your book. What is it called again?
The name of the book is Jabbed, How the Vaccine Industry, Medical Establishment, and Government Stick It to You and Your Family. That's Jabbed, J-A-B-B-E-D.
Great. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. And that is a perfect title, Jabbed. That is just perfect.
You.
You know, it is amazing how people kind of, right before they die, they say, oh, yeah, I was wrong. Meanwhile, they make a lot of money and do a
Indeed.
Lot of damage. Okay, let's take Andrea in Oklahoma. Andrea?
Yes, we had a bill that was coming through here last year, well, actually, February of this 2016, and I had called the show to see about fighting it. I went down and talked to my representatives, and basically they said if you get a doctor or get enough people in here with knowledge that are knowledgeable about vaccines, we can kill it in the House before it gets to the Senate. And actually, it was Senator Yin. He's a doctor, Senator Yin, but he's also a senator. Created a bill 830 that was going to take everybody's rights away, and they were going to be vaccinated. There was a doctor. They had a town forum meeting, and this doctor, Stephanie Christner, came. Was debating him because she is a doctor. She had her baby vaccinated, and before the sun went down, her baby died. And she has been absolutely adamant about they're no good now, and she wants to let everybody know because, you know, every woman on their first child that really wants their baby, that is their joy, and to know that her baby was just fine until the vaccinations, which she truly believed in, and then her baby dies in her arms, and there's nothing she can do. She had a message, and it affected everybody that was at the downtown hall meeting, and they did kill that bill. But to think that the CDC is going to go around and decide on their own and have these, what you called, pullover, and we're going to vaccinate you if you haven't been. I'm highly allergic to eggs, and these vaccines have made me deathly ill. I don't know if you can get vaccines that way, but people should be able to, they're giving people rights to carry again, but that would be something, that would be a killing offense to pull people over and to give them something they don't need, don't want, and I mean, if they're trying to push people into war with the government, that would definitely be one good, that would be a thing to fight over and to die over.
You bring up an interesting point. I have to wonder whether the government is doing something to incite rebellion to bring about some sort of chaos or change a governmental form, because your point is so true. Real Americans are not going to submit to that sort of tyranny. So I have to wonder that myself.
Thank you for the information. I don't know that I could read a book like that. I mean, I get so mad and angry at what's going on, and that would just raise my stress level through the roof.
My book does have that effect because it's infuriating, but it does it an opposite thing to me. I find it extremely liberating to discover truth. Anytime I can discover that I am learning truth and I was deceived at one point and I become freed from that deception, I feel lighter, I feel better, I feel cleaner. I just feel like a better human being when I can free myself from deception. And so for me, when I read this book, it's invigorating to me because it helps me see the world more clearly, and it protects me against the real epidemics in the world today, and those are the epidemics of tyranny and fraud and corruption.
Indeed, yes. And education is what we need to have in order to protect ourselves and to make good choices. So, Andrea, I think you ought to read the book. It's a fabulous book. And thank you for your phone call. All righty. So, who is Andrew Wakefield, and why is he so important to the discussion of vaccines?
Yes, Andrew Wakefield, you know, if you study vaccines for more than 5 minutes, Andrew Wakefield's name is going to appear, and before long, you're going to realize that you have met the devil himself, according to what you read on the internet. Everywhere you read, you'll read about this fraudulent doctor that created or fabricated this terrible study back in the 90s, and he claimed that he had proved that vaccines cause autism, and the nonsense just goes on and on and on. And even today, some 20 years later, his name is still being dragged through the same mud that it was dragged through 20 years ago. So, Andrew Wakefield was a gastroenterologist working with world-renowned scientists and doctors, and a total of 13 of them got together and did a case series on 12 children who had discovered what they believed was a novel form of gut disease. And 8 of the 12 kids, the parents associated their kids' gastrointestinal problems with the MMR vaccine. And they did their research and discovered that the MMR, the measles virus, was indeed in the gut of these kids. And they published this little case series. It was certainly no big study, and it never could have proven that the MMR vaccine causes autism. If they had even suggested that they had proved that, it would not have been published because it would have been so ludicrous. The paper did, in fact, state that they did not prove the association between the MMR vaccine and autism. It said it just that plainly. And so, but what they did do was that all of these highly acclaimed scientists and doctors raised doubt in the minds of the public, and doubt could not be allowed to stand. And Dr. Andrew Wakefield, in the press release of this paper, when he was asked, what do you recommend? He said, from my perspective right now, we need the vaccines, and the trivalent MMR vaccine is dangerous, and the monovalent vaccine is delivered individually and singly. The measles and the mumps and the rubella delivered individually do not appear to present the same level of risk. So he recommended that the UK continue allowing parents to get the monovalent vaccines. And it was only a few short months later that the government or the industry, I can't remember which, they withdrew those vaccines and only left parents with the option of getting the MMR vaccine. And then naturally, vaccine rates went down because of Andrew Wakefield's statement that he would recommend that people stay away from the MMR vaccine. And then if there was any sort of upsurge in illness after that, Andrew Wakefield got the blame for it. And Andrew Wakefield's gotten the blame for everything, including the price of tea in China, ever since. He became the scapegoat for the industry, and he became the embodiment of evil for the industry. And anytime they wanted to make claims about the anti-vaxxers, they hooked it up to this fraudulent doctor back in the 90s, and the diatribe would just go on and on and on, and it's still going on today. Just this week, there were more newspapers talking about Andrew Wakefield and talking about Andrew Wakefield instead of talking about the CDC whistleblower, William Thompson, which is the subject of the movie Vaxxed, which Andrew Wakefield produced, or directed, excuse me. So Andrew Wakefield, as much as he likes to say that this has nothing to do with him and we shouldn't be focused on him, it does in fact have a lot to do with him, because the industry made sure that it did have a lot to do with him. So several years, I believe it was 2010, the study came out in 1998, in 2010 the General Medical Council had had concluded its like 3 or 4 year show trial, and they stripped Andrew Wakefield and Professor John Walker Smith of their medical licenses. And John Walker Smith had the financial means to go to the Judicial High Court in England and fight that. And Justice Midding in England issued a ruling. It took him only 4 days to come up with a ruling. And the ruling really spanked the GMC. It said this was a tremendous misjustice. And it was based on shallow evidence and wrong conclusions. And he advised the GMC that they should get someone with some legal expertise on their panel because they didn't know what they were doing. So he got his license back.
All righty. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll pick this conversation up on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Deanna, and our guest today has been Brett Wilcox. He is the author of Jabbed, How the Vaccine Industry, Medical Establishment, and Government Stick It to You and Your Family. His website is runningthecountry.com. His book is available as a paperback and as a Kindle at Amazon, and I highly recommend that you purchase it, especially for the people that it was written for. So, tell us some more about Andrew Wakefield and I mean, I think there's a lot of damage control out there. I think there are people who are really slamming the movie or not even watching it.
Yes.
So please continue.
So Andrew Wakefield moved to Texas with his family, and he established the Autism Media Channel with some of his supporters, and he became a filmmaker. And his first film was Who Killed Alex Bortolakis? And it was not a big hit by any stretch of the imagination. I think very few people even know about it. And it's a very, very difficult movie to watch. It's the story of a young man who is severely autistic, who is in a lot of pain, a lot of struggles. He's nonverbal, and his mother and godmother take Alex to numerous doctors for medical treatments, and they do their best, which was absolutely the worst for this young man, and he ends up in 4-point restraints, and he ends up on 20 different psychiatric medications, and they refuse to treat the gut problem. And they kept on saying, we believe that he's in pain. We believe that his stomach hurts. And we hear this again and again and again. Doctors say, that's what autism is. That's just autism. Live with it. And so they have no problems loading kids up on psychiatric medications, but they refuse to treat autism as a medical condition. And there are now many, many doctors and alternative practitioners that know that autism is medical. And that if you treat the medical causes of the symptoms that produce autism, the symptoms of autism can go away and you can lose that diagnosis, sometimes very quickly. And sometimes it doesn't happen at all. Every kid is different. But the fact is, autism is medical. So when you treat those problems, you have a greater chance of helping the kid than if you load them up on psychiatric medications. So in Alex Bortolakis, the parents come to this point of desperation, and they do actually kill this boy because the alternative appears to be too dreadful. And although that's a horrible, horrible story, it's a reality of thousands of parents nowadays who are raising kids who are equally troubled, and they know that no one is going to be able to provide the quality of care and love that they're providing, and they know that when it's their time to go, many of them have said, when it's our time to go, we're taking our child with us. That's one of the horrible side effects of the vaccine program. So anyway, back to Andrew Wakefield. The movie Vaxxed is his second movie, and Vaxxed is... Well, we're coming right up to the end of the movie.
Yes, we're out of time. I hope that people will...
Let me conclude by saying everybody needs to see Vaxxed.
Indeed, I agree. I totally agree. And thank you so much, Brett, for being on the program. You've written a wonderful book.
Thank you, Deanna. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Thank you for joining us today.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN.
www.holytea.org, 800-326-2001.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
If the lonely night survives.